Welcome, everybody. It's time for another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today, brought to you from West Virginia University, the only show that sits at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice. With your host this week, Cindy Greenglass. Hey, Cindy.
Hey, Paul. Thank you so much, and I'm really looking forward to another terrific program. Today, we are going to explore Generation Z. Are we prepared? And here they come as we enter into a new era where Generation Z, these young people, are now America's fastest growing demographic, and represents 26% of Americans. That makes them bigger than boomers and even bigger than the millennials, which we have spent a lot of time talking about millennials. Today, we're really grateful to have as our guest Patty Girardi. She's a colleague, an author, and a renowned thought leader around specifically generational marketing. Patty is an author, speaker, and adjunct faculty member at West Virginia University Reed College of Media. She is a recognized thought leader in marketing to millennials and Generation Z. Previously, Patty served as vice president marketing at Chartwell's, the college dining division of global food service giant Compass Group. In this role, Patty led Chartwell's industry-leading rebrand. And Patty previously served as VP Sales and Marketing for Fox Cable Networks. She began her career with Cox Communications, where she held a number of field and corporate marketing positions. And she's been a longstanding contributor to the IMC and DMC programs at West Virginia University. And it is my pleasure to welcome Patty to our show today. How are you doing, Patty?
I'm doing great, Cindy. Thank you so much. And it's such a pleasure to speak with you today on a topic that, you know, just I think is more important than ever. So thrilled to be with you.
I agree. Well, wholeheartedly. I want to kick us off with first a question, if you could help me, please. Can you define the youth demographic today? Help me and our listeners understand who is Gen Z? Who is the millennial? How are they different? How would you categorize this?
Absolutely. And it's really funny because I think every time I hear this, I cringe. But even today, you really hear both groups being referred to as the same. And you know, the millennials are the talk of the town. In many cases, you hear commentators, business leaders, lump Generation Z into the same bucket as millennials. But it really couldn't be further from the truth. In some cases, they're actually quite similar to millennials, but in many cases, they're just polar opposites. So, demographically, millennials are actually born 1980 to 1995, depending upon the research that you're looking at. They're actually 24 to 38 years of age now. So, you know, they're having families, they're buying houses. They're really not, you know, the gamers, the sort of tech-forward, category for the youth demographic that you often hear. They get a lot of attention because they command about $1.7 trillion in purchasing power, and there's 80 million of them, so it is quite a big cohort. But they're not Gen Z. Gen Z was actually born 1995 to 2010, which puts them in the age range of 8 to 23, and the oldest ones are actually now in college. You know, so these are your college kids, and they are by far the most diverse generation. 28% of them actually live in multi-generational households. And as you mentioned, they're actually over 25% of Americans. So they're actually going to overtake the millennials as America's largest demographic. So interestingly, I mean, I'm looking forward to kind of exploring some of the implications with you. But, right now, many businesses still don't understand the difference between these two groups.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think millennials, unfortunately for many of us, they have become synonymous with just young people. Isn't that a terrible thing to say? Just kind of like boomers represented your parents' generation, or a much larger homogeneous group of people of a certain age. And then we have all just sort of accepted a millennial as representing the, you know, everybody that's younger than a boomer. And thank you for correcting us. So we have two entirely different 15-year cohorts here. So specifically, if we look at a Gen Z, let's talk a little bit about their attitudes, their behaviors. What are they like? And maybe compare contrast with the attitudes and behaviors of the generation before them?
Definitely. Well, you know, millennials are often regarded as being a very optimistic generation, and they are. You know, almost half of them think the country's best days are ahead of it. But Generation Z is actually quite a bit more realistic. You know, this generation has been shaped by 9/11, by the Great Recession, and, you know, the economy is doing quite a bit better, but still about one in four are actually living in poverty.
Wow.
They're also growing up in an, you know, an age of school shootings and unrest. You see that all over the news, especially in recent days. And they've actually really studied and witnessed the struggles of their millennial older brothers and sisters. And they've generally speaking resolved to do things pretty differently. I kind of mentioned earlier how many of them live in multi-generational households, and so, you know, they have this amazing appreciation for the wisdom of their elders. And so, you know, they're not looking to repeat the same mistakes that their older siblings have made or are continuing to make. So I think that's pretty interesting. You know, kind of related to that is how, you know, they're serious. They're actively worried about unemployment. You know, contrasting with the millennials report in many studies that they would spend their entire allowances immediately. So quite a bit different from this group. Statistically, more than 80% are very actively worried about the price of higher education, which is pretty relevant because if you think about it, the cost of college tuition's actually, you know, risen pretty quickly. You know, more than 80% over the past 10 years. That's actually on a trajectory that's much, much greater than even the cost of healthcare. So they really think about these things. They think about how to pay for college. You know, they want to get jobs. They want to work really, really early. You know, unlike the millennials who we kind of talk about is sometimes living in their parents' basements and things like that. They actually want to work, and they want jobs that matter. They want to make an impact on the world. They say that about 60% of them actually kind of publicly state, you know, they're determined to make an impact on the world through their careers, versus 39% of millennials. So it's very interesting. You know, on a related note, they rally around social causes. You know, 26% of 16 to 19 year olds actively volunteer, and, you know, they're just bound and determined to make an impact. You know, every day they get up and think about the environment, think about the planet, and how they can save the planet. So it's pretty interesting stuff. But then there's technology. You know, speaking about earlier, you know, millennials, you know, are often described as tech savvy, and indeed they are. Millennials grew up with social media, the first generation to do so. But Gen Z is actually, the sort of technology-related impact on Gen Z goes quite a bit deeper. They're more accurately described as tech native or tech immersed. 51%, another statistic for you, 51% of teenage boys actually report that gaming is their number one source of entertainment. You know, they've grown up now with both social media and the internet, and they really don't distinguish between the two. So it's very, very interesting. We think that a big piece of this, big kind of driving factor in all of this is that they've been gifted with gaming devices by their parents between, you know, at the early age of between 4 and 7, digital music players, tablets, and e-readers, you know, as they're getting educated as young people. So we think this has a lot to do with it. And as a result, you know, they are like multitasking at velocity that's far greater than millennials.
Wow, well, they're multitasking at a far greater rate than I am, that's for sure. You've given us a tremendous amount of information there, Patty. I'm just trying to absorb all those statistics. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. And while we're on break, I'm going to leave with you, Patty, the question after our break. So based on all of this as marketers, let's discuss the roadmap and the recommendation for how do we transition our marketing and communication efforts to Gen Z, knowing what you just shared with us now about their attitudes and behaviors. And with that, we'll take a quick break. Back to you, Paul.
Just a quick thought about something that we all instinctively recognize but may not really think too much about, and that is that marketing is more than ads and press releases. We all know that. It's about building relationships. Well, one way to connect with people and create relationships, particularly other marketing professionals, is at West Virginia University's Integrate Conference, which is coming up in Morgantown, West Virginia in August of this year, the 1st through the 4th of August. You can network and learn from industry leaders and see speakers that represent large and innovative organizations like Cisco and Facebook, as well as agencies like Cappuccino and Fujikado. You can register today at integrate.wvu.edu for West Virginia University. Integrate.wvu.edu. Check it out. Learn how to connect today. And after you integrate and connect with their Integrate Conference, you may want to also check out their online data marketing communications program. It's the first graduate program to focus on data's impact on marketing communication, something we're hearing more and more about in the world. You can learn innovative strategies from award-winning faculty as you shape the future of marketing. Imagine that. Learn more at dmc.wvu.edu. Lots of letters that all lead you to the digital or data marketing communications program at West Virginia University. dmc.wvu.edu. All right, back to Cindy. And one of the things she's going to have to teach me is how to read all these initials and letters without stumbling them over here.
I know. We got a big acronym there. dmc.wvu.edu.
That's
yes.
It.
Thank you, Paul. Before we went on break, Patty Girardi was sharing with us some fascinating statistics and insights into Gen Z, living in multi-generational households, not wanting to repeat the same mistakes of the generation before them, waking up every day being more socially conscious and wanting to make a difference in our world, and being true digital natives. Really fascinating stuff. So, Patty, based on this, all of this that you've been sharing with us, and I get it, you know, they're really different now. I got to ask you, but, you know, they're awful young. Part of us as marketers may say, well, they don't really have any money or buying power yet. Do we really need to pay much attention to them yet?
I'm really glad you asked. They do have money. You know, studies show they command about $44 billion in purchasing power, believe it or not, because they're getting, you know, just with their allowances. And that gets even greater with the parental assistance. They're also influencing household purchases. So we should care. You know, it's interesting. Pull back maybe on overloading with some of the statistics, but an interesting point is that, you know, they're savers. They say 58% of teens between 13 and 17 say they're already saving their money, which includes saving for retirement, if you can imagine that. Quite different from the millennials who are categorized as really basically saving next to nothing for their retirement funds. So they've actually got some spending power, and I think it's going to be a really interesting challenge for marketers, because we're going to have to work a lot harder to pry it out of their hands, if you will.
So how do we message them? How do we market to them? I understand that being that they are social and digital natives. They also have a healthy skepticism for overt advertising. There's a great deal of transparency they're looking for. What's a marketer to do?
Yeah, absolutely true. They are more skeptical, but they are open to brand messages, which is a good thing. They're used to advertising, but they have very short attention spans, as you can imagine. So, you know, they're communicating in, you know, real, in sound bites, and, you know, emojis and emoticons. You know, that's one of the biggest tickets, because, you know, we think about, you know, what the attention span of a reader is. You know, as a marketer, if I'm marketing to a Gen Zer, I'm probably going to pull as many words out as possible. And if I could market just using emojis and emoticons, just using visuals, I would, because that's really what they're connecting to. You know, transparency, you mentioned it, is so important, and authenticity, because, you know, they need trust, you know, because of the way that they've grown up. They're looking to feel safe. So they really want to associate with honest brands. The technology play is really interesting, because they're so tech native, you know, they're using their phones. You know, if your website's not optimized for mobile use, you are no longer in the game. But at the same time, because they are multitasking across 5 digital screens, they're getting burned out on technology. And it's interesting because they know that, you know, they all, you know, this kind of surveys show that, you know, they understand that they're spending too much time online. And so there are brands that are getting really smart about providing non-technology related experiences. So things like gathering spaces and, you know, attaching social causes, to their products and services, because at some point everybody needs a release. So quite a delicate balance between, you know, being good, savvy tech marketers, but also providing that comfort level with authenticity and transparency, and then also recognizing that it can't be about the technology all of the time.
Right. So, you know, many of us as marketers understand that, or in previous generations, you start introducing your brand at an early age to an audience, and as they grow up, they embrace that brand because that was either a brand that was in their household that they remember growing up, or it was a brand that got introduced early, and they stay with it, and so that develops a loyalty, perhaps out of more out of behavior and than it is out of a real connection to the brand. Do you feel that this generation will be different in that way, that they will make brand choices not based on habitual behavior, but based on some of these other criteria?
Yeah, it's a great question, Cindy. I think some of the jury's still out on some of this. It's an important point to think about. Based upon some of the observations and the work that I've done personally, what I'm seeing is that the brands that are authentic are capturing their attention. And unlike millennials, who are very much influenced by online reviews and ratings, because this generation is a little bit more serious and a little bit more skeptical, they demand word of mouth. So they're taking the word of their family and friends. And I think that brands that are kind of cracking that code are the ones that are becoming successful. So right, you can't really rely on just habits and behavior. But if, you know, mom or a sister or a friend recommends your brand, you are in a better spot than most.
So I'm putting a little bit on the spot here because it's a bit of a crystal ball. But so do you think celebrity endorsements will become less important to them? I mean, they're such a big part of our kind of advertising environment right now.
This is more opinion related than anything. I mean, I think there are very clear winners in terms of celebrity endorsements. I mean, you know, Kylie Jenner, for example, is highly influential with this group. You know, it, it, She is a master at social media. I think that it would be wrong to suggest that celebrities don't command influence over this demographic. I do think that they will be, and again, my personal opinion, that they will be more selective and willing to abandon those who do not kind of stand up for the same causes or support the same causes that they do. There will be more of a intellectual filter on things than perhaps the millennial generation, who is more dazzled perhaps by Hollywood and celebrity.
Well, Patty, as we're wrapping up here, I know this time has just gone so fast, and there's so much more I would like to ask you. I look forward to reading more from you as an author. And I just wanted to ask one last question. You have been a longstanding contributor to WVU and their IMC program. Tell me, what's your experience with the college been like?
Oh, yeah, of course, I'd be very pleased to do that. I mean, it's just an honor to be associated with an institution and a program that is, you know, of the highest quality and most definitely on top of the latest trends. It's really hard to believe, but it's actually been the better part of a decade. And over the course of that decade, I've had the honor of not just teaching, but, authoring and refreshing courses, including, the message customization course, as part of the DMC program. And then also speaking at West Virginia University's, very prestigious Integrate conference. Which I understand is back this year. So it's just been a pleasure and a privilege, and not to mention the fact that I have had a chance to engage with such esteemed colleagues as yourself. It's just a real pleasure, to be able to speak with you today. And certainly we would not have had the opportunity to do so without our connection to WVU.
Absolutely. We have that in common. And now I feel like I'm very hip because I love my Bitmojis, which, my children who are in this Gen Z roll their eyes at mom who's into her Bitmojis. So, Patty Doherty, thank you.
I am too.
Thank you for your time and your insights today. And Paul, we'll send it back to you.
You've been listening to WVU Marketing Communications Today, brought to you live from West Virginia University, a biweekly program that sits at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice, only on the Funnel Radio Network, for at-work listeners like you.